Have you been avoiding checking your 401k or other investments this month? I don't blame you if so. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is off nearly 10% in the past month, thanks in part to trouble in the Chinese economy and falling oil prices. In about 20 minutes, we'll hear from the Federal Reserve at the end of its two-day meeting in Washington. Policymakers are not expected to change course after the interest rate hike last month. Earlier today, I sat down with Larry Summers, the Harvard economist and former Treasury Secretary under President Clinton, in his office at Harvard. And I asked him if he's worried about the volatility of the stock market and the direction of the U.S. economy.
Yes, I am. Markets often overreact. Markets are always volatile and frequently more volatile than is justified by fundamentals. Paul Samuelson famously quipped 50 years ago that the stock market had predicted 9 of the last 5 recessions. On the other hand, if you look at the consensus of professional forecasters, or you look at the Congressional Budget Office, or you look at the U.S. administration, they've predicted 0 of the last 5 recessions. And so markets will have false negatives, but the consensus will tend to miss problems also. So I think you have to look at what's happening in markets with concern. And it's not happening divorced from reality. You're seeing a capital outflow from emerging markets at record rates. You're seeing a number of the economic statistics in a downshift, industrial production, retail sales. These numbers are coming in less strongly than they had been a few months ago. The last employment report was certainly a very encouraging report. But employment has a tendency to be a lagging indicator. And the United States is embedded in a weak and weakening global economy.
You sound like you're saying we're due for a recession.
I think that would be a substantially premature judgment. I think we have a risk of a recession. I've estimated the chance of recession at 1 in 3. I think if the Fed actually carried through on its forecast of raising rates 4 times this year, then the odds would probably be closer to 1 in 2. But I don't expect the Fed will carry through, because I think the Fed will recognize the gathering weakness. And indeed, markets have now very, very heavily discounted the Fed's forecast of what it will do, to the point where markets are now looking for one rise over the next year rather than the 4 that the Fed forecast for itself.
Did the Fed make a mistake in raising rates last month?
I said at the time that I thought it was a mistake. It was at the moment that it was done, it had been signaled so strongly that there really wasn't an alternative. But positioning itself for a rate increase was a very poor risk-benefit judgment. The great risk for our economy is slipping off into recession, is allowing expectations about inflation to become unanchored, and for the risks of chronic lowflation or deflation to become a important barrier to growth, as has become the case in Europe and Japan. And what the Fed did was a step that increased that risk rather than reduced the risk. They were worried about a different risk, a risk of overheating of the economy, perhaps a risk of financial bubbles. Whatever the risk was that we had bubbles, that risk is taking care of itself as we look at what happens to the market every day. And I find it very hard to see evidence of overheating in this economy. So I think the prudent course is to minimize the risk of a deflationary trap. There's some very fundamental things that have happened in our economy. People are more nervous and saving more. More of the income is going to high-income people who have a high savings propensity. And on the other hand, there's much less need for capital investment than there used to be. A smartphone has as much computing power as a supercomputer used to. People are shopping with e-commerce, so there are fewer malls that need to be built. All of that operates to mean we've got more savings, less investment, lower normal interest rates, and mean that we don't have the kind of room to raise interest rates and tighten policy that we once did. So I am concerned about the path of policy.
And what about that issue of income inequality? And as you say, a lot of the money going to the top. The French economist Thomas Piketty has been calling for a wealth tax to close the inequality gap, a tax on people's net assets, especially at the top. What do you think about an idea like that?
I don't think the global wealth tax idea that he's pushed is likely to be politically viable in any near-term horizon. I do think there's a lot we can do to make our income tax system more progressive. There's no reason why kinds of gains that Bill Gates enjoys or Steve Jobs enjoyed or Mark Zuckerberg enjoys should entirely escape taxation if the stock is not sold. You look at the profits of American companies, you'd think the greatest profits would be in places like China and Japan and Germany that have big economies. In fact, the greatest profits are in places like Luxembourg, Ireland, and the Cayman Islands have the lowest tax rates and provide a basis for tax sheltering. So I'm for taxation that addresses inequality, but I think there are better and more politically practical and feasible ways to do it than through a wealth tax.
What do you think about what you're hearing on the issue of income inequality from a guy like Bernie Sanders?
I think his emphasis on the excessive power of financial interests is legitimate and correct. I think his concern that bankers should not be running the Federal Reserve System by law in the charter of the Federal Reserve System, I think that's a legitimate concern, and I agree with him. I think some of the particular proposals he made, I don't think would advance the interests of the economy. I don't see any particular virtue in banks being big for the sake of banks being big. But I worry that some of the approaches he would take to breaking them up would deny access to credit for a large number of American businesses, as took place before the Depression or as took place during the S&L crisis. But I think the impulse that he has to be concerned about money in politics is exactly right. So I think one has to take a sort of issue by issue, careful and thoughtful view of these things. I do think that Senator Sanders makes a mistake by oversimplifying the issue into all regulation is good and all non-regulation is bad.
Are you supporting Hillary Clinton in this campaign?
I'm supporting. I have not made an endorsement. I'm not a.
You could do it right
I'm
here.
Not a, I'm not a. I'm not a political. I'm not a political figure, but I have a lot of admiration for Mrs. Clinton, who I've known for a very long time.
Would you serve in a Clinton administration if asked?
Oh, I am just focused on what I do as a professor here at Harvard and someone who comments on economic and financial issues. I've had two stints in government, and I think that's probably enough for my family.
Larry Summers, always great to hear your views. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.